inspire and empower women to lead. I'm your host, Kenzie Taylor, cybersecurity queen, foodie, and Miss Maryland 2023. Let's get to the episode.
Hello, everyone. Today we are here in Columbia, Maryland with Dr. Amanda Gallagher of Amanda Gallagher Orthodontics. She was just nominated for top orthodontist I saw in Baltimore Magazine. So, yes. Dr. Amanda, could you tell us a little bit more about where you're from and about your amazing practices?
Yeah, thank you so much, Kennedy, for having me here. I'm super excited to be on and talking to you all. So I'm originally from Reading, Pennsylvania, where I was born and raised. I went to undergrad at James Madison University in Virginia, where I played Division I field hockey.
Wow.
Went to Temple University in Philadelphia for dental school, and then University of Maryland for my orthodontic residency, which was about a three-year program there. So once I was finishing with my residency, I was looking all over the country for different jobs and positions and trying to figure out where I wanted to go. I wasn't dating anybody at the time, so I was just like, I'm willing to go literally wherever I had the best opportunity. And 6 months before I graduated, I met my now husband, and I was just like, I'm not staying here. I'm going and I'm taking this job. I took a job up in Boston for a little bit, and I worked up there for about 4 months before I put my 6 month notice in to leave, and then I moved back to Maryland. So that's how I ended up in Maryland, and we started the practice. So Amanda Gallagher Orthodontics was born in 2013, and I bought a practice from an existing orthodontist who was just had a small practice just north of Baltimore City. He had two little locations and was retiring. So most of his staff was with him for about 30 some years.
Wow.
When I came in. And so I come in bright eyed, ready for change. There's not a single computer in the office. And I bought the practice. He stayed with me for about 6 weeks, and then I just took over everything. So at that point, you know, it was just working to grow the business. So that was in 2013. We just had our 10-year anniversary last year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And then we built from one office up to four. So we're in our fourth location here. And we just signed our lease for our fifth location opening as well. So,
oh my goodness.
I'm excited. I know. So it's been a super fun journey, a lot going on, but definitely wouldn't do it any other way, for sure.
Good. Yeah. Well, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're obviously very accomplished. And
thank
I was reading
you.
Your resume online. Yeah. You've gotten so many awards. I saw you graduated summa cum laude, right?
Yes.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
But let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Why being a dentist? Like, why was that your dream when you were a kid?
It actually wasn't my dream when I
really?
Was a kid. Yeah. So I knew that I wanted to do something in healthcare and medicine, and I just wasn't sure what that was going to be. And I mean, to be completely honest, I didn't think that I was ever smart enough to be a doctor, or I didn't have any doctor figures in my life that, you know, I don't come from a family of, you know, mom or dad that are doctors or anybody in the family. I'm the first doctor in our family, actually.
Wow.
So I just thought, okay, well, I'm going to do something in medicine. Maybe I'll go into like physical therapy or something like that. And so I started working in medicine. I volunteered a lot at a local hospital. I was a candy striper. I had to wear one of those awful uniforms. But I did that. And then through doing that, that really opened me up to looking into medicine. And I decided to pursue pre-med. I was big into sports. I mean, as I mentioned, I played field hockey in college, and I thought I wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon. And so during college and studying pre-med, I had opportunity to work in hospitals and doing internships, and I was a surgical scrub nurse with like no training and assisting surgeons and all that. And a lot of them were trying to talk me out of going into medicine. And I didn't really understand that. And then as I studied health administration and managed care in college, business administration, I was just like, you know, I don't know if I want to have my life dictated by like a hospital. I could just kind of visualize, you know, I wanted to have a family. I knew I wanted to have a family, and I didn't want to have to worry about being on call or missing holidays or family time. And so then I started thinking dentistry, not so controlled by managed care and insurance. I didn't want insurance to dictate what I was going to do.
Right.
And so then I was like, okay, that's more of like a 9-to-5. I could still be a doctor and still have family time, and I could still be an independent business owner. And so I knew in my head that I wanted to have my own business and, you know, control my own destiny. So dentistry was the natural way to go there. So that's kind of how I got into dental. It was kind of like a roundabout, like starting and thinking that I wanted to do medicine and then getting into dentistry. So even when I was in dental school, I didn't know that I wanted to be an orthodontist. So that's what I specialize as, in orthodontics. I think I just didn't want to put the pressure on myself because I knew that you'd have to be at the very top of your class. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to graduate the first 1, 2, 3 in your class in order to be, even be looked at for orthodontics.
Wow, and I actually didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's like the orthodontics are like the top of the top. And so I knew I was a hard worker. I've always been a really hard worker. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that's how I was able to play field hockey in college. It's like, not that I was the best. It's just I'd be the hardest worker in the room. Mm-hmm. And so I just put my head down. I got through dental school. I graduated at the top of my class. And then it opened me up to the opportunity to get into orthodontics. I thought it was going to be a little like, you know, golfing every day. I wasn't really expecting to go golfing every day. So it was pretty intense, you know, going through residency still to have to do a 3-year residency to learn to straighten teeth. But, you know, I learned a lot about, you know, growth and development of jaws. I mean, there's like a lot more behind, you know, that. But yes, I'm happy with like being an orthodontist and getting here, but it was a journey. And I didn't expect to end up here for sure.
Right.
Yes.
Is there an age group that you specialize in working with?
No, we see kids as young as 5 years old. I have had patients up to 85 years old come into the practice. So I see a wide range of individuals. I think especially after the pandemic, definitely a big influx of adults going into, you know, looking into having orthodontics done because they were looking at their teeth on Zoom all the time. And they're like, oh my gosh, my lower incisors are driving me crazy. So
that's when I got Invisalign.
Yeah, there you go. So you know all about that. But yeah, so we do have a very large population of adult patients. I think because our practices are designed in a way to feel like more spa-like, not your traditional office. I think a lot of adults feel very comfortable coming here for treatment, that it doesn't feel so kid-centric. But yeah, so we do kids, we do a lot of early treatment, and then we do a lot of adult treatment as well.
Well, this office is beautiful. It truly is a luxury experience just walking in.
Thank you.
Do you think that's what sets you apart as an orthodontist in this industry?
I mean, definitely, for sure. I think that, you know, again, starting, you know, having a practice 10 years ago and it literally being like a little hole in the wall place, I had flesh-colored cabinets and green carpet and plants that were literally like taped up. I always had a vision that I just wanted to do things at a different level. And I always wanted to have, you know, a state-of-the-art, you know, technology practice. And I didn't start with that, but I just had in my mind that that's where I wanted to go. So when we were able to buy our first building and then fully designed that out, it was like, yeah, I just wanted to have more of like, I wanted a place where like moms could feel bougie. And that kind of like turned into like all the moms wanted treatment. And that turned into then me pursuing Botox and dermal fillers and, you know, all the more cosmetic procedures that a lot of other orthodontists and dentists don't do. So I do feel like it does set me apart in the industry. And I do feel like more people have started to adopt having a practice like this. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it's kind of cool, but it's definitely different. So
it's
You feel, yeah, it makes you feel good coming in for sure.
That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Talk to us a little bit about your decision to buy an existing practice versus starting your own, because I do think a lot of the listeners are considering starting their own business, and that might be a good way to have existing customers.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, that was for sure one of, I didn't come from money. I had to pay for my education pretty much solely dental school and orthodontics residency. I still had to pay for residency. That's the difference between going into a medical residency and dental.
Really?
Yeah. So I had a lot of debt. And so a lot of people coming into the dental field needs a lot of debt that you take on. So I didn't really have much cushion. I didn't have any cushion. I was so poor and all this school debt. And so for me, I wanted to have at least somebody, if somebody lost a retainer, they could at least come in and buy a new retainer, you know, from the existing practice, you know? So for me, having some type of baseline cash flow was a security blanket, even though it wasn't a whole lot, it was at least something. And so that's why I had chosen to purchase versus starting from scratch. But since I've gained my confidence with that and I've, you know, created a business and, you know, it's allowed me now to kind of branch out a little bit more and then do, we were kind of talking about something de novo from scratch and go into different areas that I haven't been in and start something new. So, which is scary to do, but it's also a lot of fun. But you just have to constantly be hungry and constantly be willing to go work to get the next patient in the door, for sure. So, but yeah, that was a nice thing about having an existing practice is just being able to have some type of income there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you experienced any discrimination maybe as a woman business owner or times when people thought that maybe your husband was the owner?
All the time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, all the time.
Yeah.
So I think that is something that hopefully, and I mean, I find myself doing the same thing. I'm equally as guilty, which it's like, I have to consciously like catch myself like, whoa, like, okay, like I can't get upset that somebody else is thinking that because I do sometimes do the same thing. But I think that that is changing. There's so many more women in medicine and dentistry than ever before. I mean, so many of these classes that are coming out, even orthodontists, are fully women, which is incredible.
Good.
Right? So, but yes, it's, I mean, all the time. I mean, people, I'm not one to have people say, oh, you must call me doctor, whatever. And most of my patients think that I'm just an assistant. Sometimes I don't even realize I'm a doctor, which is totally fine. I don't get hung up on that. But yes, I think that as a woman in any industry, especially if you are a disruptor and doing something outside of what is normal, there are targets on you and people will judge and think, or even from the beginning, you know, I was growing my practice and I had reps come in to my office and be like, you know, the orthodontist down the street is saying, what is she doing? Like, what is she giving away? She must be giving something away in order to get people to come in. Right. So it's like, you can't do it on your own laurels or just being nice and treating people well. It's like, you've got to be doing something to be putting, you know, and I don't think that men are judged that harshly. I do have now 4 locations. One of my locations, I do truly feel like discriminated against kind of, as I am one of the only females in the area that is a dentist and or orthodontist.
Wow.
And they have their groups of people, right? They have their groups of people that they like to send to. And I would go and introduce myself and say, you know, if you're ever looking for a woman, I'm not asking you to stop sending to who you're going to, but like, if you ever need a woman, because there's a lot of kids who prefer female providers, I feel like.
Absolutely.
And you know, they're like, no, I have my people and I'm not going to send to you. I don't refer to you. And I'm just like, okay, wow. I accept that. All right. And that's fine. So I'll just find a different way to talk to the patients out there. And then for me, it's been about building the experience. So every single person that comes in our door, I want to make sure that they're having a great experience and that we are connecting with them personally, that it's not just any other office. So they feel good about coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a way that we can set ourselves apart. But that's a way as women, I think we can set ourselves apart. But discrimination is 100% real. I mean, and you just have to not be bothered by it. You're aware of it. You understand it. And you just have to work that much harder.
Absolutely.
Eventually you earn their respect.
Yeah. Just gotta keep going.
Yeah, gotta keep going. For sure.
No, I love that. And you talked about having many offices now.
Yeah.
So how are you building those offices and getting clients?
So there's no way that I could do it by myself. I know that the business is called my name. One of the reasons why I named the business my name, I always thought it was super tacky when people called their office their name. I thought that was arrogant. And the fact that I ended up that way, I was like, I didn't ever want that attention. And I thought of all these different names for the business. But for me, it was a way that I could set myself apart being a female. And because all the other places were male, you know, so, you know, so it's, I've worked, you know, to build up that way. My husband actually is part of the organization now too. So, he is an attorney and he was working as a lawyer about 13 years downtown, and about 3 years in, he decided to leave we never even talked about it. He's like, I'm just going to join you. And I'm like, okay,
wow.
Can we work together? But fortunately, we worked together really, really well. And, so I couldn't build without having him by my side to do it because, you know, like I said, I am one person. It's like, I know it's named after me, but now we have 4 amazing associate docs. So I have, it's a total of 5 female doctors that work here. We have almost 50 team members, and every single one of those people have to be dialed in to like what your vision is. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's my constant battle, is making sure that everybody is aligned to that so that we can continue to grow in all these different areas. So there's no way that I could open offices in different locations if we didn't carry that through. And that is my challenge, is that, again, there's one of me, there's 4 locations, soon to be 5. How do I continue to do it? People are like, how do you do it? It's like, it is difficult, mm-hmm. but you have to continually be present and make sure that everybody is following what your vision is. You know, everybody's aligned to that. So I think that is one way. I mean, that's definitely a way that we're working to grow. And again, my husband, I mean, at this point, he does all the back end stuff, and I'm like, okay, I'll design the offices. I can do all the fun stuff, pick out all the fun stuff, and then, you know, assist with all the treatment stuff. But then, you know, having somebody who can handle everything else in the back end, I mean, like I said, I couldn't do it without him. So that's how we're able to do this.
Good. Yeah. And so staffing must be difficult then, right? To have someone that's completely aligned with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that hiring your team members is, I mean, honestly, the most important thing you can do at first. Eventually you have a reputation and people know you and the quality of your work, and then they're going to want to seek you out and work for you. But at the beginning, it was definitely very difficult because they don't teach you in medicine or dentistry how to hire or run a business. It's like kind of trial by fire. Yeah. You literally have no business background. So it's like you just try to work to figure out. And I feel like I've always just had a good business sense. And so, but yeah, so I don't know, but like hiring has definitely been very difficult. But once you find those people that are aligned with what your values are, you do everything to hold on to them. And they tend to stay with you as long as you treat them well, because you become family. And so I care about every single person that works for me. I know them. I know their life. I ask them questions, and I feel like they feel like they're part of something bigger than literally just showing up for work. And it's hard, again, to do that, but like you really do have to connect with people on a personal level. And then if there are people that you have trouble with, I mean, I usually always say, you know what, if it's not a good fit, typically it will work itself out. And it does tend to happen that way, that those people, if they don't align, they'll eventually work themselves out. So we've been really lucky to have a great group of people. And there's no other way that I could do this without having them, you know, help me run everything, you know.
I'm happy to hear that.
Well, thank you. Yes, but it's taken a while. I mean, I've definitely been through it, you know. Like when I first bought the practice, I had women that were here for 30 some years, and again, just bringing computers in was like shocking. And it's like I didn't want to let anybody and so I wanted, and because I wanted that consistency of, you know, the patients that were already going there. I mean, that's the thing with orthodontics, is like you're going there over the course of multiple years. Mm-hmm. You know that through having your treatment done. And so it's like, if there's a new person in there, at least you can have the same team. But again, it was like values are different, you know, and now there's a new sheriff in town.
Right.
But eventually things had to turn over. But yeah, we have a great group now.
Good.
Yeah.
Now talk to us a bit about that evolving technology, because you're right. When I got Invisalign, I was fully scanned.
Yes.
It was just so different from when I had braces as a child. So how do you stay up to date with all that evolving technology?
I mean, that's the constant struggle. You know, today even it's not a patient day of mine, but I'm home doing all my Invisalign. And then I'm also watching webinars on the newest things that are coming out. So you can never just get complacent and be like, oh, it's just braces or nothing. And I feel like that is something that has set us apart, is that we are constantly willing to push the limit and do things that other people are not doing. Not only with like Invisalign, today I was learning about, there's a new palatal expander with Invisalign.
Wow.
So now there's no more keyed expanders. It's just an Invisalign expander.
Okay.
Which is incredible. So, but that's
expanders hurt.
You don't want to do that.
No.
So, but yeah, it's like constantly staying on top of the technology. We also do something called Embrace, which are braces that are completely hidden behind the teeth. So you don't have to hassle with taking aligners in and out, but not many people want to do that extra work to learn something new. Again, right. It's like, well, braces are easy for me to put on. Why would I want to do something different? Mm-hmm. And for me, it's always trying to look ahead into the future and be like, this is eventually where things are going to go. And so if this is the way things are going to go, I want to be the first one there to do it.
Right.
You know, so that's what's motivated me to stay on top of everything. And then, yeah, it's just the constant work. And we're required to do continuing education mm-hmm. To maintain our licenses in the States, like for medicine and dentistry. But on top of that, it's like, yeah, I just want to be the best of the best. And be,
right.
be very forward thinking. So, yeah, it's a lot to do, but it's fun.
I'm sure it is a lot. But you're right. I think with the evolving technology, everything's getting better day by day. So of course you want to be up to date on all of those.
Right, for sure. It's just a better experience for our patients. And I think that especially having a very adult friendly practice mm-hmm. and having about 50% of our new patients as adults, I mean, they appreciate that you want to do something different or do something that would be better ultimately for them. That braces now don't have to be, oh, I'm going to have to hide for the next 2 years.
You know, I'm laughing because I feel like I did that.
Right. Having braces on my teeth, like they appreciate that we get and see that there are other ways to do it and that we're willing to be different than everybody else around here that doesn't want to do these new technologies because they don't want to be bothered by it. Mm. So I think that they appreciate that much
more. Absolutely.
For sure.
So you mentioned that you worked at a private practice in Boston, right?
Yes.
And then I also read that you worked at one in Frederick.
Yes.
So what did you learn working at those practices that you've taken into your businesses?
So we did your research. So.
I did.
my employment in Boston was short-lived in the fact that I actually was the only orthodontist in a general dental practice in two different locations in Boston.
And oh my goodness.
So from the very beginning of just getting out of residency, and I was kind of taking over for somebody who had left, and it was a lot of stuff that I kind of was thrown into, and I feel like it was like sink or swim, and like I had to fix a lot of problems. And so by being alone and needing to figure things out, like it just forced me to fully understand how to fix all problems. Mm-hmm. So anything that I started then I could really kind of see through like how I was doing things, but then I also had to figure out like how to, you know, repair things that went awry. So again, it wasn't too long that I was up there. When I moved back, it was because I was now engaged and moving back to Maryland where my future husband was going to be. And so I didn't want to go into an existing practice, orthodontic practice, where I would have to sign a restrictive covenant that would limit my ability to open my own thing. So
is that normal to do?
Yes. And
really?
So they were pretty significant that it would restrict you 10 to 20 miles from location. So knowing that I wanted to eventually probably open my own practice, I was like, okay, I'm not going to sign any of these and be an associate. If I ultimately mm-hmm. want to have ownership, I want to keep all options open. I went out to Frederick, which is a little bit further out, but I started ortho in a pediatric dental office. So that was like my first go at just doing something brand new. And pretty soon on, I realized that the promises that were being made to me of me potentially having ownership in that were not true. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a lot of like what's out there is that some of these, I don't know why, I've always been very upfront and honest with all of, you know, our associate doctors. It's like, okay, like we own this practice. Like we don't intend to divide ownership. Just be honest with people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's
should
not
be simple.
Yeah. It should be pretty simple and straightforward, but it's not. And it's, I feel like a lot of people feel like they have to promise ownership in order to just get somebody to come work for them. Mm-hmm. So I realized pretty soon in Frederick then too, that I was like, I'm working this hard to get a brand new practice started. I saw the fruits of the labor and I was like, I'm not going to do this for somebody else to make money off of me. I'm going to do this on my own. And that's when
I love that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was like, but that was between Boston and that total of 18 months of just trying to work that out until I finally made the decision to buy my own.
That's amazing.
So, and here we are. So
yeah. And it was probably helpful too to have a future husband, right? That was an attorney to take a look at things.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was, it's still super helpful today. And I don't feel intimidated. Like, oh, what if somebody wants to sue me? Or hopefully that never happens. But I'm like, I have my own in-house legal counsel.
Right.
In the case that I ever feel like, I'm like, okay, like take a look at it. He's got it all squared away. So
good.
Yeah.
And talk to us a little bit about playing D1 field hockey. I think that is incredible.
Well, thank you. Yeah. So I played field hockey at JMU, and it was one of those things where I once I got to that level, I was like, oh my gosh, like I am so far from, you know, it's like I grew up in a small town. I worked really hard. I played well. People knew me. I never thought I was the best, but I knew I was going to put in the work to get there.
Right.
And so I think that's something that they recognized in me when I was kind of being recruited by schools. And so I get there, and it's one of those things where I wanted to do pre-med, and I was going to be pre-dental, or I eventually went pre-dental. In my second week of summer camp, I broke my hand. I didn't even realize it. So I was forced to redshirt my first year, but I still was supposed to be, like, out all the practices and everything. And I think I made it to that level. But then I ultimately had, that was the first time I've ever had to quit anything. And I had to let that go after my first season because I always thought that that was like a failure of mine that, you know, it's like, okay, like I made it to this point, but I didn't see it through, but I didn't see it through for other reasons. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, I feel like I'm an old lady now, I'm 42, but
you look like you're 20.
But at that point in time, especially with athletes, there was not a whole lot of support if you wanted to do anything like outside of just be a kinesiology major. Hmm. And I was required to go to mandatory study halls, and I was super hard working on my own. I didn't need to be required to go to different study halls. And then I started getting kind of punished because I'd have to miss practice because I was going to organic chemistry lab. But there wasn't a lot of support for women that were going in to do something more, you know, as far as like medicine or dentistry or anything like that. So I ultimately had to make the call that I'm not going to be a professional field hockey player. And like, I want something more out of my life. And I made the decision to end that. So it's like one of those things where it's like, I did play at that level, but then ultimately I walked away from it. But that was what needed to be done in order for me to get where I needed to go. I feel like there's a lot more support these days with like women and athletes and college. And they support having, you know, being pre-med and doing all of that kind of stuff. But at the time it wasn't like that for me. So,
yeah,
but yeah, I was definitely, I think that experience, to be honest, is, and I talk to people about this all the time too, is that you literally can do whatever you want to do. I didn't know that I could ever play at that level, but I did. And I was recruited to the top 10 D1 schools in the country. But it was like, and it's just because I worked hard. Mm-hmm. And so that was, for me, it was like, it was a turning point in realizing that like, you literally can do anything you want to do if you just put the work in. And so I think going through that, and even though it didn't work out as I maybe thought initially that it was going to end up, that taught me some really great life lessons. And I feel like it opened up the door for me for, even when I was in dental school, like getting into dental school, the fact that I was a D1 player or played any type of college, you know, sport, it shows a different type of discipline. And then going into residency, very difficult. There are only 4 people in my residency class, and there's only a couple hundred spots across the entire country. That was one thing that it definitely set me apart too, was the fact that that is something that I accomplished, and it just showed like your hard work and dedication. And so again, that carries through into everything that I do. And so I didn't ever expect to have multiple practice locations. I didn't expect to have like what I have now, but it's like that grit, you know what I mean? And you can't teach that. Like, you either have it or you don't. Mm. And
that's why I keep opening practices, because like, I don't know. I'm like, keep going. Let's keep doing. Because you just realize that like all these doors are open and you just have to like walk through them. You know what I mean? And you can literally do anything. So, but yeah, so that was a long way around a plane. How did I
know?
Not playing the sport in college, but I do think it opened up a lot of opportunities for me to get to where I am. And then just that the discipline of playing at that level, just, you know, again, pulling through in your life. And anytime that I'm talking to people who were previous athletes, I'm like, 100%. I'm like, you belong here. So that's how I also judge like people working, whether it's a doctor or whether it's a, you know, an assistant in the back or something at the front desk. I feel like that's super important to me.
I would like to see the stats on former student athletes and now business owners and successful business owners, 100%. Because you're right. I do think it teaches you a lot.
100%. Yeah. So all that growing up, all that discipline, playing all those sports. I mean, there is definitely something with that for sure.
Good.
But then with my own kids, I'm like, you don't have to do it. I don't know. But it is just part of being a team and working and just seeing the rewards of your effort you put in, you know, and it's like, if you can form that when you're young, just in those little wins of like playing sports, that just, I feel like builds a whole lifetime of wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You mentioned your kids.
Yeah.
So tell us how many you have and
yes.
I guess how it is managing your business and also having children.
So I have three little boys. So Ben and I have three little boys. Nine. Okay, they're getting big now. So 9, 7, and 5.
Aww.
So, and I've had the practice now for coming up on 11 years. So I started, I bought the practice. Within 1 year, I was pregnant with my first. And so we're in the process of building a practice and opening locations. Every time I would have a baby, I would open a new location. So this was the fourth. We got a dog, so that's our fourth kid. But 5, maybe we'll get the second dog. I don't know. But I think it's actually leading that way. So if there's something with that too. I have no idea. But, you know, I think people always are asking, you know, like, how do you balance? I don't think there is no such thing as balance, to be honest. And what it appears to other people looking in is like, maybe I have everything together or that I'm like rock star. It's like, that's not how I feel. I just do the best that I can. And some days are better than others. And that's the reality of it. I think that, you know, for me having, I knew I always wanted to have kids. I knew I always wanted to have three kids. And so when I had our first and I knew I wanted them to be close to an age, I mean, I know you talked about having siblings with different age gap. I wanted to have my kids close together and I knew we were doing all this, but I was like, if I'm going to do this and have a family, I mean, because at that point I was 32, 34, 36 when I had my kids. I was just like, okay, this is my window. We're also growing a practice. They're very young. I need to hustle now. They're not going to remember this point as I'm really hustling and grinding. And then once I get through onto the other side, like where we are now, this is like when they'll remember. So maybe I can grow it this big so that I can take a little bit of a step back. And that ultimately was my goal in growing the business, was that I could build it to the point that I could take a little bit of a step back. And that's where we are now, even though I still have my foot on the pedal and I'm still going to open more offices. I do have a lot more flexibility where I don't have to be the one that's in working every single day on patients. I can be home still doing work, but having more flexibility and actually getting to see them more. Because when they were really young, I would go to work before they would wake up and I would get home after they went to bed. And honestly, I would go a week at a time where I feel like I would not even see the babies. And that was hard, but the payoff is worth it ultimately in the end. And then how was I able to do that? Well, we had a nanny. I have no family close by. So my husband and I just had, we had fortunately found an amazing nanny that's been with us for the last 7 years.
Wow.
And so, I mean, but that's luck too. But we, you know, that we found somebody that could be consistent and stay with us the entire time. But having that help is incredibly important. But then, yeah, so balance, doesn't exist. And something I've learned is that we only have, because I thought that I could do 100% of everything with office and patients and be the best orthodontist and do all these things and be the best mom. And then I realized that you only have 100%. You only have 100%, and it's how do you want to divide that? Because you can't give yourself 100% everywhere, and you still have to take care of yourself, right? So I think once I wrapped my head around that, which took years to get to, it's like, okay, this is what I have today. This is what we're going to do, and this is how we get through. But yeah, so I think people looking in may say, how do you do it all? Like, it's not possible to do it all. It's just, what is in your control? What do you want to devote your time and energy to? Mm-hmm. And for me, it's about now being with my kids more and being present, for them, but still having to do all this.
So, you have a lot going on.
Yeah, there's always a lot going on. But
that's great advice, because a lot of women business owners are balancing having killed kids and managing their families as well.
Yeah. So it's not easy for anybody. Mm-hmm. And anybody that says that they have it figured out is lying. It's a clear lie.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how smart you are or whatever, but you do need help. You need the support. Mm-hmm. And you just have to know that just some days are going to be better than others. And then just, it's like for me, it was just build. So then I could really prioritize where I wanted my time to be. So to make those sacrifices early on and knowing intentionally I was making those sacrifices to then have something better on the other side.
Right.
You get there. It took 10 years.
Well, how do you find time to focus on you? When do you do that in a day?
Yeah. So, that is the constant challenge. Always being an athlete growing up, I knew that even going through dental school and the most stressful times of my life, if I didn't prioritize my health, and I know that I always feel really good about when I work out and that feeling, it's like I have to make time for that. And so, yes, when you're in the moment and having kids, it kind of fell off a little bit, but I still would try to prioritize time for me. It's hard, especially if you're breastfeeding kids and then, we have all these young ones. It's tough. It's really, really difficult to do. But finding my way back to that and focusing more on I want to be physically healthy and fit and strong, but that I need the mental component of that more than anything. So for me, exercise is therapy and I need that. And so I do prioritize that. And I try to make sure every single day getting some movement in. Some days, again, better than others. If I'm with patients all day long, that's my exercise. And I just crash at the end of the day. But yeah, I can't sit at a computer all day. I have to make a point to take that time for myself. So it's not a whole lot of time, but at least it's something.
Right.
Yeah. But I think that's really important.
What would you say to women listening who can't find that time for themselves?
I would say just start small. Honestly, you don't have to have, for me, I think what was a roadblock for me is, especially being an athlete all growing up, it's like I thought I had to have an hour of intense exercise to get what I needed to get done. Mm-hmm. Have full sweat, and you don't. Honestly, I would take my babies and I would just do squats and lunges.
Aww.
But seriously, start small, just keep yourself moving. And just even that little bit of movement is so helpful. So just do it in little nuggets. And so then eventually it will get better. It does get better. So, but again, just take little bits of time, even if it's just a shower and you just have to shut the door and even not exercise. Just take a moment, because it's really difficult when the kids are so young to have just a moment. So just little pieces, and little pieces are enough for sure.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, thinking forward the next 5 years, 10 years, do you see yourself taking more of a step back than you already have?
So when I say take a step back, it's one of those things where I'm taking a step back that I'm not fully present with patients every single day. I'm not touching patients every single day. But I'm still working every single day. And so, but again, it's being able to turn it off. I'm just trying to focus on, when I get home, shutting it down and not being connected to Instagram and everybody's requests all the time, or whatever it is. So in the next 5 years, I see myself probably being involved just as much as I am now, but maybe it's like one of those things like where I love the business side, but I also cannot forget about like what brought, why I'm here is because of the patients. And I love the energy I get from the patients. And I love, you know, young girls that come in, and I feel like there are so many kids that come back when they're in high school and they're like, I want to be an orthodontist now because of, you know, and I'm like, that makes me feel so good. So I can't see myself fully letting that up. But in 5 years from now, I'm probably going to be doing the same thing. It's just, where do I go? Because for me, it's like, again, like the sky's the limit. Okay, so we did this around here. It's like, how far can I push it? And so that's what's fun. It's like, I like to be really creative and think kind of outside the box. It's over to like the Botox and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, what am I going to be doing in the 5 years? So, but again, I do feel like I have a better balance right now, like with my kids and the business. And I see that staying the same. When I retire, then I can have a little bit more time off, but I can't see that happening anytime soon. Okay. Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about social media before we end, because I found you on social media.
Yes.
So how important is social media in marketing your business or any business?
I mean, I think we can all agree that social media is invaluable. Mm-hmm. And just for me, it's been incredibly helpful to connect with patients and honestly, other orthodontists and female orthodontists across the country. So I feel like I can be like inspiring to these other women professionals. And then, you know, for patients even, it's been difficult because I've just tried to figure out, you know, what do I want to show? Because I want them to see me and I want them to know, like, I am a person and I want them to feel connected to me as like a human being. And I feel like when they can connect that way or they see my life in other ways, not just what I'm doing in the office, it becomes like more real to them. And I feel like mothers then connect with me more than too. And some people don't like to see that, and that's fine. They don't have to follow me, and nobody's forcing anybody to follow anybody.
I think we all love it.
But I mean, I think that with social media, I kind of went back to like, what kind of image do I want to create? And it was always like, for me, what do I connect with in other people? And so I would pay attention to what I saw other female entrepreneurs doing. What did I like to see? I really like to see them in their vulnerable moments, like with their family. Like, I love that, to see them as a mom and not this movie star or whatever, you know? So I had intention to do that. So I do share personal and business on my quasi-personal business. But it's a great way, you know, like I said, to connect, bring patients in. Before they even come into the office, they already know me. They're like, I've seen you on social media. They're ready to buy, you know, so they're already ready to buy because they already know who you are. They feel connected to you. And I think that that's something crazy with social media, that if you're not doing that, you are missing so much. So not saying you have to put your life, everybody feels, you know, has a different comfort level of putting their family out there and everything, but like just making the intention to know that this is a way for you to grow your business for free, really, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what really sets you apart and what caught my attention. You're obviously a doctor and that's incredible, but you're also a woman, you're a human. Yeah. And I could see that right away on your Instagram.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's my intention too, is that, like, I'm not any better than anybody else. And it's like, I'm literally just a person like anybody else. And I think that that makes people feel comfortable, you know, when they come to us. So I'm glad you see that.
Of course. And do you have anything else that you want to leave our listeners with today? Any advice, maybe?
You know, I think that, you know, as I was, you know, speaking, anything is really, truly possible. And you just have to be willing to work for it and just go for it. And don't be limited by your thoughts. I mean, you just have to put everything out there into the universe and things will happen.
I needed that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, as I said, like all doors are open. You literally just have to walk through them. And you can do whatever you want. If I can do that, and I mean, but I'm a hard worker and I know mm-hmm. that. And I think that was difficult for me at the beginning because I didn't understand when I was first asked, like in the orthodontic world, to speak and tell people what I was doing. I'm like, I'm literally just doing normal stuff. Like I'm not doing, I mean, there's no extra magic or anything mm-hmm. like that. But you know, you have to work hard. You need to treat people well. And it doesn't matter what your business is. I just think that that is, you know, those core values are just so important and you can literally do whatever you want. So it's just, for me, now I realize that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like it's a superpower in a way. And it's scary in a little bit because it's like, you have all these different ideas. It's just like, where do you want to put your attention towards? And like, you will do it. So it's just finding where you want that focus to be, because mm-hmm. you know it's possible once you do put all that focus and energy into something.
That's so great advice.
Yeah. So that's what I would say.
Good. And you're certainly paving the way for a lot of women. I would say, of course, in orthodontics, but also just women entrepreneurs in general. This is amazing. I love this location.
Thank you. I'm so glad you're here. Yeah. So, I mean, this office is in Columbia, the Meriwether District. And again, we're the only orthodontic practice is amongst all these amazing restaurants and everything down here. But, you know, we're working to grow and just expand our brand and awareness and just do something different and make people feel really good about themselves. So I appreciate you taking the time to come out here and speak to me.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. And please let us know how we can follow you.
Okay. Well, you can follow me. The best way to follow me is on Instagram @AGOrtho. So, and I'm pretty available. People message me all the time on there. And I mean, I'm happy. Like if anybody's interested in dentistry, I have people come shadow and do all that kind of stuff, which is a lot of fun. I love to like help guide, you know, younger people out there, but it's AGOrtho on Instagram. TikTok, I'm just not, I have to divide my, there's only so much time I have. It's like Instagram is a way, or Amanda Gallagher Orthodontics on Facebook, @AGOrtho.com. I guess it would be AGOrtho.com on the website. So
perfect.
But thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes.
Ready.
Enjoyed as much as I did. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. See you Wednesday for a brand new episode.